Nina Marney, welcome to the audio introduction for the Adelaide season of Disney's Beauty and the Beast at the Adelaide Festival Centre. The performance runs for approximately 2.5 hours with a 20-minute interval. Beauty and the Beast is a classic tale exploring themes of looking beyond appearances, confronting toxic arrogance, and the importance of love and compassion. There are themes and images which depict violence and coercion, and this performance includes flashes of lights, theatrical smoke, and a live orchestra playing from the pit. Upon entering the auditorium, the stage has a ceiling-to-floor screen with a still-projected image of a black shadow. This silhouette image is of Beauty and the Beast in a heartwarming embrace, their silhouette rising from a mountain of rose petals amongst a galaxy of stars in the background. A single-stemmed red rose glows between them. Words across the screen read, "Beauty and the Beast," in trademark Disney font. There are multiple locations we visit as the story unfolds. The main locations depicted are the village, Main Street, Belle's Cottage, the Tavern, the Woods, and the exterior and interior of the Beast's sprawling castle. There are numerous set changes, and they are swift and occur like magic. Act 1 begins at the castle for a prologue scene. Shortly after, we visit a quaint village where Belle and her eccentric father live together. A cobblestone-lined street, single-fronted stone shops on either side of a wooden bridge with stairs connecting the two sides. Shop signs read, "Bakery, Aston, Rugs." It's a bustling, small and busy street where town folk meet and shop for local wares. Belle lives in a small stone cottage. It's homely with a thatched roof and has large windows with flowers blooming from the windowsill box. Directly opposite her cottage is a stone water well, framed with a thriving pink rose trellis and complete with a well bucket connected on a rope. Projection is used to indicate location, and there are two large white screens. The screen at the front of the stage is semi-transparent, allowing audience to see the performer's action behind it. The screen at the back of the stage extends the full length of the playing area. Other locations depicted include sprawling green and yellow canola-filled hills, with utopian blue skies and white fluffy clouds, the Beast's stone castle sitting high on the hill in darkness, and inside the castle itself, the dungeon, guest room, kitchen, a library with ceiling-to-floor antiquated books, the Beast's dining room, a castle gallery walkway holding a myriad of antique gold gilt frames and impressionist art, and the out-of-bounds Beast's west wing. Occasionally, the projection is animated, a night sky with a galaxy of shooting stars, or when in the woods, the wolves' bodies bound through the darkness with their eyes glowing red. Inside the Beast's castle is a large gold staircase and the Beast's chair, an ornate, lushly upholstered chair with gold trim resting on a podium, and close by, a red rose kept securely in a large glass-domed container resting on a plinth, initially glowing, but becomes weaker over the course of the story. The castle is vast, gloomy, and cold, and the only source of light are suspended fleur-de-lis structures which hold a myriad of candles. In the castle, the fabrics and furnishings are opulent. The Beast has wealth, but the surroundings are cold. A single piece of furniture defines the room location. For example, the guest room holds a gold ornate chaise lounge. The dining room, a long table adorned with a draped silver beaded tablecloth set with two large silver candelabra stems, with an over-the-top floral arrangement. Elaborate chairs sit at either end of the long table. In the Be Our Guest song, the use of a stage revolve supports a complex dance routine which occurs under a frame of flashing lights reminiscent of the Parisian Moulin Rouge. Additionally, an aerial camera captures and projects the dancer's floor action and movement. Akin to dance director Busby Berkeley's distinctive style in the 1930s, the choreography and visuals are elaborate, a kaleidoscope of dance sequences, geometric patterns, and dreamlike settings. Finally, we arrive at the castle's flourishing garden. Stretching from the left-hand side to the right-hand side of the playing area are multiple rows of arched trellis, magnificent roses in full bloom. In the middle of the back of the playing area are large, elaborate gold gates. Minimal but significant props support each scene. Belle's eccentric father, Morris, rides a wacky, bespoke gopher with a cane picnic basket at the helm. It's also flanked with other collected paraphernalia and gadgets, a wooden box under the seat, a glass milk bottle, and an umbrella. The castle characters have their own props, which are integrated into their costume. Additionally, Mrs. Potts pushes a tea trolley, which holds tea accoutrements. Atop the trolley sits an oversized teacup. Characters and costumes, in order of appearance. Prologue. The castle. We first meet an old beggar woman. She's a hunched figure in a full-length black cloak, her hood pulled over her head. In the dark shadows, she holds a red rose in her gnarly old hand, later transforming to a slender woman with coiffed silver-white hair, spirit-like, in a silver glitter dress with matching sleeves, overly long, loads of rippling fabric. The woman converses with the young prince. He stands tall and proud with a head of dark hair. His long royal purple robe is embellished with gold, and his black velvet square cornered hat is embroidered with a royal insignia in gold thread. The beast has a huge shaggy head of black hair, like a lion's mane, pulled back into a rough ponytail. A pair of white bullock horns protrude from atop. His face has dark eye sockets and a broad bull-like nose. His wide, muscle-bound shoulders are accentuated by a dark brown scaly leather jacket, like an armadillo, over a red shirt pulled in at the waist with a black belt and a large silver buckle. His powerful muscular legs, in tight blue trousers, are tucked into long black shiny leather boots, with the tops folded over to create a wide cuff. He has expressive dark hairy hands, bushy eyebrows, and a full beard and moustache. Act 1, in the French provincial village, Marketplace, we meet Belle. Belle is a young woman with large dark eyes, wide smiling face, long dark gently curled hair pulled back off her face in a softly draped hairstyle. She wears her deceased mother's gold locket around her slim neck. She wears a simple non-fussy blue knee-length peasant dress with a motif of pinky purple tiny flowers, and a cream, softly checked three-quarter sleeve blouse underneath. Her delicate matching blue court shoes have a small heel, double straps and buckles over the arch of her foot. The villagers include characters such as a milkman, bartender, washerwoman, baker, egg seller, rug beater, bookseller, and a portrait painter. They all wear old-style French country clothes, rough, worn, practical working garments in multiple clashing colours and patterns, with aprons and caps and lace-up leather boots and shoes. Some women wear layered dresses with petticoat skirts underneath, puff sleeves, tight bodices with frilly collars and hats. La fille de la village, the girls of the village, are dressed identically, but in different colours, yellow, blue and green. These three girls, with bouncing curls and long fluttering eyelashes, wiggle and giggle as a trio in extra frilly off-the-shoulder dresses, lashed into tight bodices of lace ribbons and bows. Their full-circle knee-length skirts are ornately decorated in florals and lace frills, and each wears matching colour court shoes with an elegant foot strap. La Foy is Gaston's dependable sidekick. La Foy is about 5'5" tall, a bouncy man with short dark hair, sideburns, high expressive eyebrows and a cheeky grin. He wears a gold and black striped jacket over a maroon pattern vest and cream undershirt. His red neckerchief is knotted in front. He wears pale green shorts that come to his knees. Gaston saunters in with commanding confidence. He's a dashing, well-groomed young man, approximately 6 foot tall, dark flashing eyes and a broad, white smile and dimples. His long dark hair is pulled back into a ponytail with a curly lock as a fringe falling over one eye. His mighty muscular build is accentuated by his red leather sleeveless vest and yellow undershirt, buckled up by leather arm guards, dark green trousers stretched over his bulging thighs with the bottoms tucked into knee-high brown boots. He has a leather knife pouch with a dagger hanging from his belt. Scene 3, in Belle's cottage, we meet Morris, Belle's father. He has wild grey curly hair, a long grey moustache, and a battered felt hat with a wide brim. Morris is a lovingly chaotic inventor and wears clown-like red and white striped socks with green trousers rolled up to his knees, held up by a pair of braces. His yellow and red striped shirt has a dusty blue checked jacket over the top with the sleeves rolled up to his elbows. In the castle, we met Cogsworth, and he's a human clock. He's an older English gentleman with thick gold circular reading glasses and purple hair combed back on top and rolled into a stiff curl below his ears. On his head, he has an ornate headdress like the handle of a mantle clock. His tunic, in green marbled swirls and gold braid, is A-framed, like the triangular body of a clock. complete with a gold pendulum behind a wire door on his front. He has wide matching trousers and gold shoes with short heels. Lumiere is a human candlestick with a distinct French accent. This young man with pure white styled and coiffed hair wears a lavish, elegant outfit consisting of a gold silky shirt and cravat under a gold jacket and matching high-waisted trousers. Instead of hands, the end of the jacket sleeves each have a large white candle in an ornate holder with the French fleur-de-lis or lily flower motif. Lumiere swans around the castle, illuminating his candle hands, flicking them on and off with a flourish. Babette, also French, is a human feather duster. She has a slender build with red hair piled up on her head under a square pillbox hat. Babette wears a figure-hugging maroon thin strap dress with a gold braid crisscross pattern. From the knees down the dress is a ruff of maroon feathers which fluff around her as she shimmies and shakes and sashays around. Mrs. Potts is a human teapot, an older motherly figure with an East London Cockney accent. She wears a white dress with a bell-shaped hoop skirt. The pale pink arches along the bottom edge each have a gold Eiffel Tower embroidered on them. One sleeve of her dress is wider and permanently turned up with a spout where her hand should be. The neck of her dress has bubblegum pink frills and buttons, and her white hat lid is perched on her swirly pink and white hair. Chip, Mrs. Potts' son, is a human teacup. He's approximately 7 years old, and his head is magically encased in a large pink and blue teacup with a golden curved handle. His face peeks out from one side. He's suspended on a series of elaborate tea trolleys where he magically appears to have no body, arms, or legs. In the castle bedroom, Madame de la Grande Boucher of the Big Mouth is a human dressing table. Her box skirt is a wide set of four wooden drawers with pale knobs. Her head and torso appear from inside a mirror-like frame in green and gold velvet fabric. Her elaborate white hairdo, reminiscent of wealthy ladies from the 1700s, is wound up into a tall, bouffant mountain of hair on top of her head with a bejeweled crown. Madame squeals with a sing-song voice as she totters around, her long legs in green trousers are patterned with brown table leg designs. Towards the end of Act 1, there is a stupendous song and dance number called Be Our Guest. It's an elaborate dancing extravaganza which begins with the girls dancing dressed as dinner plates. The female plate dancers have identical outfits and striking blue hair and wigs, blue shimmery bodices, pink and white plate-like scales sewn together into mini skirts, fishnet tights and gold showgirl shoes. Each of the dancers hold a 1 meter by 1 meter circular white plate with a fleur-de-lis motif on the front, which they revolve in patterns around the space like a kaleidoscope. The Can-Can girls skip and kick on stage in purple bodices and big full-circle purple skirts with ruffle petticoats underneath. The chorus line tap-dancing girls wear gold jackets over pink bras with pink fringing, matching pink choker bow ties, gold knickers with gold sparkly fishnet tights, gold ballroom dance shoes with a T-bar topped off with a tiny gold top hat on a jaunty angle on the top of their heads. The male dancers and tap dancers sport shimmery gold top hats and tails, matching trousers with an iridescent bluey-green shirt underneath and gold boots. In Act 2, in the castle, Human Again, the song includes the white ballet. Male dancers waltz in formation wearing white shirts with voluminous sleeves tucked into tight-fitting white trousers and white shoes. The female dancers appear in white dresses with delicate off-the-shoulder sleeves and full-circle flowing knee-length skirts, which fly and fan out as they lifted and swirled around the floor. In the ballroom banquet, Belle and the Beast are dressed in their finest clothes. Belle appears in a stunning pale yellow full-length ball gown bejeweled with crystals. It sparkles like a cut diamond under the lights. The tight bodice is strapless with draped chiffon fabric on her upper arms. Her delicate hands are in long yellow gloves to her elbows. The voluminous multi-layered skirt has jewel-encrusted petal-like panels and her glistening tiara is in a floral pattern. It's also encrusted with diamonds. The Beast wears a striking royal blue velvet jacket and trousers with lavish gold embroidery and sapphire blue gems. Underneath is a white silky shirt with long open cuffs and a high collar with ruffles down the front. He dances elegantly in his gold block-heeled boots. The creative team: book writer Linda Wolverton, composer Alan Menken, lyricist Howard Ashman and Tim Rice, direction and choreography Matt West, scenic designer Stanley A. Meyer, costume designer Anne Hald Ward, lighting designer Natasha Katz, music supervisor and arrangements Michael Kasarin, sound designer John Shivers, production conception Rob Roth, orchestrator Danny Troub, video and projection designer Daryl Maloney, hair and makeup designer David H. Lawrence, illusion designer Jim Steinmeier, dance music arrangements David Chase, electronic music programming Christoph Buskies, fight director Rick Sordelet, physical movement coordinator Lorenzo Pisoni, associate director Sam Scalamoni, associate choreographer Jen Rias and Chandon Jones. The main cast: Belle, Shubhshree Candia, Beast, Brandon Xavier, Lumiere, Rowan Brown, Gaston, Jackson Head, Cogsworth, Gareth Jacobs, Mrs. Potts, Jade Westerby, Lafoy, Adam DiMartino, Morris, Rodney Dobson, Babette, Hayley Martin, Madame, Alana Tranter. Additionally, there is a large ensemble, swing cast, and multiple young actors play Chip. This completes the audio introduction for Beauty and the Beast. Your audio describers are Eliza Lovell and Carol Wellman-Kelly.